This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Yes, there is another tropical storm that is forming. Will it slam into the United States? And what happened to Gabby Petito? What a sad, sad story that is. A lot of you sent me thoughts on it in the mailbag. And I understand, because we see this crazy story of the boyfriend, the rambling. Where is she? Oh, she was left behind on a trip to Wyoming. Give me a break. And since so many people are huge true crime podcast lovers and are watching what's going on with police and the clues that are left behind, it's become kind of an interesting, I think, story, a very sad, sad story now that they believe they found her body. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. What a way to kick open the week. It was a big week in entertainment, or weekend, because the Emmys were held. And let's face it, so many of us were held captive that many people were streaming what was being offered up. So Ted Lasso won a bunch of Emmys. Queen's Gambit won a bunch of Emmys, as did Hacks and a few others, and I'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on the show. But first, a couple of really serious things at the top of this show. The things that I say are what we're talking about, what we're buzzing about in your backyard and mine. And a lot of people were intrigued and saddened by this young, beautiful girl, Gabby Petito. So human remains have been discovered in Wyoming in Teton County, and they're consistent, they say, with the description of the 22-year-old. The FBI had a news conference, said full forensic identification is not complete, of course, to confirm it 100%, but they believe it's her, so they notified the family, and that's what you do, right? The cause of death not determined. What are we all thinking? The coroner said an autopsy will be scheduled for Tuesday, and then they would go through everything officially. But they're saying that a weekend search around this camping area in the Bridger-Teton National Forest on the kind of eastern edge of the Grand Teton Teton National Park, where they were looking for her, you know, she's been missing since September 11th. At the same time, in Florida, they're looking for her fiancé. Imagine that. Brian Landry. His family told police that they hadn't seen him since last Tuesday, which then they decided, well, we're going to search a local nature reserve, that so far they haven't found him either. Now, this is what was happening. So imagine you're a parent, right? They were traveling on a road trip through a bunch of different western states. He returned to Northport, Florida without her on September 1st. They found the van that they had been traveling in at the home that she shared with Landry and his parents in Northport, which is a city that I used to go to for the Texas Rangers. They used to have their spring training there. It's in Sarasota County, about 80 miles south of Tampa. So he's not wanted for the crime yet, but dozens of officers and agents were looking through this area to try to find him, and they had to suspend the search. His family told police that he left home with his backpack and told them he was going to the reserve, and that's all they know. I mean, is this not the strangest story? Your girlfriend's missing. You're out. I'm just going to go backpacking. I'm sure they'll find her. It never made any sense when he was rambling a couple of times. I saw him on the tube when somebody had said they'd come across him or whatever. But once again, here we have the sad tale of this young woman with this guy traveling to Wyoming. Suddenly she's gone and there's nothing but questions. And now they're asking for tips from anyone who might have seen her or him or their car, which was a van with Florida plates and stickers on the back and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so they're still doing that. Now they're looking at this nature reserve of all places, right? I mean, this is a giant nature reserve. 200 acres is what we're talking about, the area where he is. So they've had drones. They've had, do you think they don't think he's a person of interest? They had drones. They had bloodhounds. They had articles of his clothing taken from his home to get a scent for the dogs. And they're, so they're trying to find him. Anybody out there who thinks, do you think he's a suspect in this? I realize they have to be very careful in what they say, right? Because if they get him and then this becomes, this is a case against him, let's say it's a case against him, they don't want to trip up in any way. So, okay. But how sad and twisted is this and how awful for her family? And I start with this because it's just that cautionary tale, right, of what happens when you turn your back for 2 seconds. And it's that same old thing we hear over and over. Oh, he seemed like such a nice guy. They seem fine. Everything seemed fine. But that's not what her friends are saying, that he was massively jealous and every kind of twist in between that you can imagine. So we move from the young girl and this crazy disappearance and people trying to piece it together in their minds, social media trying to figure it out, and all these amateur sleuths across the country who have really just fallen for her, fallen in love with her, right? Fallen in love with the story about her. And now the human remains found Sunday in a national forest near Wyoming. So another sad tale, like I said. A couple of things. 6 people are in critical condition, 24 others injured. There was a bus crash in Pennsylvania. It went off an exit ramp on Interstate 81 in Schuylkill County. The bus driver lost control. You know, why am I talking about that? Because there's so many people jammed on this bus, 30 people injured and 6 in critical condition, right? You know, Schuylkill County is about 100 miles northwest of Philly, and this goes to a whole different thing and something that we've talked about before on this show, from bus, you know, kids on a bus safety to buses in general and safety and things that you don't hear about. I'm sure there's more details on that, but just a very, very sad, sad story for sure. In the meantime, it still is about COVID, 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 because the conversation is with the schools is the wrestling matches that have just consistently continued that I talked about last week when it comes to school board meetings. And now you have, you know, it's definitely the war of vax versus unvaccinated. You have an anti-vax NFL star offering to buy tickets for unvaccinated fans. So Cole Beasley offers to buy those tickets to Buffalo Bill games played on the road. He's a wide receiver for them, popular, and along with the long snapper, they made the gesture after the Bills issued a mandatory saying a rule, proof of vaccination was required to attend games. So that's what they're doing. And I wonder if more will follow suit, because there are fans who have refused to get the vaccine. They've been planning to support their team at away games, but they might have those tickets bought for them. And then you wonder what's going to happen with the other NFL teams. Just saying. What happened in Washington? Many of you asked. We're going to tell you about it. The big rally. How did it turn out? That's next.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Erin McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Emails, gang. You can always send me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. So many of you, well, at least a handful of you, tapped into what happened in Washington. So Sal, Ed, and also Joe, all three. I love that. It's like Manny, Moe, and Jack. Sal, Ed, and Joe all asked almost a similar version of what Sal said. Hey, Kate, how did everything go over the weekend? I was kind of off the grid, if you know what I mean. How did everything go over the weekend with the march on Washington? Was it calm? Were there arrests? What do you know about what that was like? I think that it was probably, as you said, just a march and nothing that got out of control. Okay, so what I know is I actually know two people that were covering it, and I got tweets from one of them that it was Justice for J6, and there were people there that, you know, had gathered together, and they were kind of, you know, they were gathered together to show support for the people that were put in prison over the invasion of the Capitol, and there were plenty of police. There was a big presence of police and media. I mean, there's like hundreds of press people. That was the thing that really stood out, because waiting to see what was going to happen. Hundreds of police. And then the people who attended, so less people attending than the press and the police. And so there wasn't a giant turnout. The crowd was just kind of what we would call in soccer like a smaller scrum, you know. And there were signs, you know, that kind of stuff, and then there were some anti-rally people that had signs that showed up and that kind of stuff, but there wasn't anything. There's like four arrests, I think, that were made, but it didn't turn out to be anything. Like I said, there were people, there is no right of insurrection. This is about democracy. Let's fix it together. Those were some of the signs that were people were holding. You know, justice for everybody. There was people screaming that kind of stuff out. And it was an event that had a sparse crowd and had a lot of media and police. And that was mostly it. So it didn't turn out to be, you know, it wasn't this event where everything escalated or people were provoked. And I'm not surprised by that, right? Because it wasn't as though there was, you know, speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker, like all-star lineup of that kind of thing. There wasn't. So I think that was part of it, you know, that you didn't, that's not how this was organized. So you didn't get that. And it didn't, so it didn't turn out to be the brouhaha I think that it was being billed to be. And I'll say it again, that makes sense to me, because if you know, I mean, everything's pretty much, you've got fences up, you have massive amount of police. It's just a whole situation that wasn't going to turn in, that wasn't going to be allowed to turn into anything, if it, even if provoked. So there wasn't any of that. Like I said, there was just a handful of arrests, and I think that's a good thing that this didn't turn out to be, because I think there was kind of a setup here, that this just didn't turn into a, okay, we're going to poke back, and you're going to poke at us, and then we're going to explode, and then this is going to turn into tear gas, people with their face in the ground. I mean, no. I mean, the point was to say we're disappointed in how things were, so we're here, or we're here because we think we're going to be rebel rousers, or we're here because we're in the media and we want to get everything and record everything that happens. So that's it. It wasn't any big explosion at all. It wasn't that. So Sal, Ed, Joe, I mean, that if they, all similar questions, what happened? It didn't turn into what some feared it would turn into, which is basically what Sal was saying. I mean, was this just, you know, peaceful? And peaceful's good, right? That's peaceful's good. Why would you want to have a repeat performance of what happened on the 6th? Of course you wouldn't want to have that happen, and there was no way that was going to happen, because mostly that's what you had around you, people ready to report and people that were ready to cuff. Report and cuff. I mean, you know, pretty much that was it. All right, how about this one from Max, who says, Kate, I listen to the show. I know I laugh when I hear people say, oh, I listen to the show. I've listened to the show for however many months. I don't even know how many months I've listened to you, but I like the show because I think you have a good handle on what's happening and you're trying to be balanced. In other words, you're trying to just tell us what the hell is going on instead of force feeding us opinion after opinion after opinion after opinion. So I think I get where you're coming from. This whole COVID thing, in my family, it really is the divided line. It's like you talk about the polarization of not just America and Americans, it's families. It is families. And I don't know if you know this, but a lot of insurance companies are not providing coverage for COVID-related stays. So you can get hit with a massive bill. That's something else for families to consider. And did I think the vaccine was the right answer? I'm not so sure. Did I get the vaccine? And I could take the stand and plead the fifth and say it's my health, which you hear some people say that. But I took the vaccine. I wasn't going to. I wasn't crazy about the whole idea. But then I started to think about it. Well, if this is the best option and I have an existing condition, then that's what I'm going to do. And I did it. And then I saw that people that didn't get shots or people that did or whatever happened and they got COVID, how awful it was and how much they were telling people, don't get this. And then how they also, on top of everything, if they barely survive, get slapped with an unaffordable hospital bill. Yeah, you know what? There's a big story, and maybe thanks, Max, for that. You might have seen this story, and we talked to somebody about this on the air. We had a couple of healthcare people on the air talking about it. But, you know, once the pandemic took hold, health insurance companies were saying they would cover 100% of the cost for COVID treatment, waiving copays and deductibles for hospital stays, because it's in the thousands and thousands of dollars. But most insurers have reinstated copays, at least for 21, right, for COVID patients, and all of that. And so that's the whole thing. They're saying, yeah, no, they're considering it like almost like elective. So now that massive financial burden, if you fall into that unfortunate position and you do survive, right, well, even if not, where are they passing the bill on to? Boom, you're getting this. You're getting the bill, and you're on the hook for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And then whatever you have that you have to do with rehab, because some people have that long haul thing. So if you have to go through that, I mean, it could be $20,000, $25,000. Wow, that would just be, I mean, of course, that'd be terrible. So what are you going to do? You have to figure out a way. You have to figure out a way, and that's the worst when you get slammed with that. And these are people who, you know, they're lucky if they're making $30,000. So that would be rough. Oof. Okay, let's go to this one from this one is from Mary, and Mary says, "Kate, I think it's such a tragedy what's going on with this whole Gabby Petito thing. Talk about a blunder of epic proportions in how this was handled in the first place. I don't understand when they're searching for her and they have all these questions. Why isn't the fiance, why wasn't he a person of interest in the first place? He refuses to speak with them when he goes home alone. No doubt they're going to find her body. No doubt it's not going to be a shock to any of us. And I realize you have to have some sort of evidence, but not to have any questions. He's refusing to speak to them. I mean, what do you think is going to happen at the tail end of this? He's going to disappear is what's going to happen. All right, so, yes, we've been talking about that, and we've been talking about the situation, about the disappearance, that they had these detailed – this is the thing. They had detailed accounts of what they were doing and their adventures on social media. They had photos and videos. They had a YouTube video that they posted where they're – smiling and doing cartwheels and they're on a beach and all that. So people were following them along. And then all of a sudden it kind of like dropped off. So public interest got pretty hot and heavy over this case. And I talked about this in the very beginning as to where in the world is this guy now? And they're doing everything they can to find him. But, you know, then the hashtag that's out there, Gabby Petito, has been viewed millions and millions of times as of me cracking open this mic. So people obviously care about that. You can send me your thoughts on anything. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets, stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. Several hundred Haitians were flown back to their home country Sunday as the U.S. begins a plan to expel more than 12,000 migrants from the southern border. Three flights carrying about 320 people arrived in Port-au-Prince Sunday, with more expected on Tuesday. It's part of an effort to clear a large group of migrants who have built a camp under an international bridge outside of Del Rio, Texas. American and Mexican law enforcement also began turning people away who were crossing the Rio Grande into the U.S. Mexico announced Sunday they would also begin deporting Haitian migrants back to their homeland. And a ruling by the Senate's parliamentarian makes it unlikely that the Democrats' $3.5 trillion spending package will be able to contain any immigration reform. The Hill reporting that Elizabeth McDonough has issued guidance that the plan to include new immigration policy in that package doesn't comply with the rules for what can be included in the budget reconciliation process. This is USA Radio News. Law enforcement officials in Wyoming announced they found a body in a national park they believe could be a missing YouTuber. Chris Barnes has more.
Human remains were discovered, consistent with the description of Gabrielle.
That's FBI agent Charles Jones at a Sunday afternoon news conference where he had to confirm that they had found what appears to be the remains of 22-year-old Gabby Petito in Wyoming's Grand Teton National Park. She and her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, were seen there together during their cross-country vehicle trip, which they went on together, but she never returned, and he did, before then disappearing again in recent days. They've been calling Laundrie a person of interest. Now that could change with the find of these remains. In our New England Bureau, I'm Chris Barnes, USA Radio News.
And President Joe Biden will speak with French President Emmanuel Macron to discuss an emerging diplomatic crisis following the announcement of a U.S.-Australian deal on nuclear submarines. French officials say the call will happen in the coming days after the announcement caused anger in the French government. This is USA Radio News.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
This week, boy, there are a lot of interesting political happenings that are on tap, and that's part of what's on tap. Sounds good to me. Let's all sit around the bar right now. By the way, you don't have to imbibe if you don't want to, because we have iced tea and other things that you can certainly pick up if you choose to do that. Wonder what they'll be serving when Macron meets with Biden. Because certainly that's got to be a little bit icy. Boy, those relations are strained big time. And part of that is over the whole submarine kerfluffle. And the fact that you're saying bye-bye to the ambassadors from France to the U.S., and Australia is involved in this, and the UK obviously is too. But Biden and Macron are supposed to have a meeting, and so that meeting is a talk, I'm sure, over this crisis with this submarine deal, because France wants an explanation over the surprise end to a 2016 contract worth at least $66 billion. Hey, what happened to our $66 billion? Suddenly it's gone. So the phone call is actually the request of Biden, and there's a lot of shock and anger in this whole thing, and I would love to be a fly on the wall to hear how the explanation goes with this. Because the contract was $66 billion between France and Australia to build 12 diesel-electric subs. Instead, Australia signed with the United States and Britain for 8 nuclear-powered subs. France insisted, we weren't informed of this deal. You know, we didn't know. So they recalled their ambassadors, like I said, from the U.S. and Australia in a sign of what is absolutely a serious crisis, right? And the foreign minister met with 2 ambassadors to talk about the strategic consequences, as that's what he said, of the current crisis. So it is a crisis. And this is a big, big move for the U.S. when you look at that Indo-Pacific region, which is what's happening in China, right? Then their influence there. And China, of course, we're talking about the China Sea and the fact of being able to be in the subs and to be able to watch what's going on over there. That was part of this kind of this whole thing. The Australian Prime Minister said that France would have every reason to know that they have concerns about the capability of France's attack class subs, which they say can't meet the strategic interest. So Australia's basically saying, we're out of this whole $66 billion we were going to give you because you don't have the right stuff. We need to pay attention to what's going on here, and so we're going to the U.S. Ooh. Mm. So anyway, in the next couple of days, they're going to have that conversation about this, about what happened here. So it's like a Francis, you double crossed us. So, and the Biden administration is downplaying their furor and saying that it's just a disagreement between good friends. I think if I'm France, $66 billion is a lot. I don't think they're just going to say it's just a disagreement. It's just a little bit more. I'm going to call it a little bit more than that. All right, other things that are on tap include this tropical storm. I mean, there's like a bunch of tropical storms. I'm hearing them all day long. Oh, there's Peter, there's Rose. It's a busy, busy season. So the 17th Atlantic storm of 2021, if you're counting, who's counting, is called Rose, Stormy Rose, on Sunday afternoon. It's about 300-plus miles west of the Cabo Verde Islands. So you've got that, too early to tell. And then you've got in the Atlantic Basin, Tropical Storm Peter, that's number 16, so that's actually before Rose. And that's, you know, we always talk about these leeward islands. That's there. It's about 50 miles an hour is what it's laying down at this point. You know, you have these hurricane hunters that look at the center of the storm, and they say that it might be farther southwest than in the previous advisories, but the impacts are expected to hit, but they might be minimal depending on if it remains in the open water of the Atlantic, because that's the whole thing. It's, you know, this, you get this by now, right? Right, peeps? That you get that warmer sea surface temperatures and then it strengthens. So that's what you don't want to see. I'm just like looking at the islands and saying, what's next, right? Rainfall could be something that happens from Peter, but again, we have to just wait and track it and see at this point. Just know that Peter's around and Rose is around. And so far, it's looking like not a threat, especially Rose. Definitely over the open water is what they're saying. Turned into a tropical depression by Tuesday, so no worries there. But it's still on tap because it is a possibility. Right? So it is absolutely still on tap. All right. How about this? You know, the other thing that's going to happen is when everybody comes back to Washington, which that happens on Monday, is what's going to happen to these giant bills? Like, whatever happened to infrastructure? Of course, too much, right? Too much in the bill. So they're talking about, you know, Schumer is talking about an alternate path for this $3.5 trillion bill because stuffed into it was immigration reform. And Republicans are saying, you know, all the things that are stuffed into this is more than the ingredients in a turkey on Thanksgiving on its best day. And they're not going to approve that massive amount of money. So I think what's going to happen and what's on tap is, again, more pulling apart and trying to decide where it's going to end up, where it's going to land as far as that price tag is concerned. Because how are you paying for it? And, of course, what we constantly hear is tax the rich. But what is taxing the rich mean? Who are the individuals that they're talking about taxing and then saying taxing the corporations too? So all of that's going to come into play this week. That's going to be a big part of what the politics are on the week. Absolutely, for sure. The big interest in this, because if something had just happened where it could have been a little slimmer, there could have been some sort of compromise. More people could have, in my opinion, could have gotten back to work on serious projects that would help the decrepit, crumbling bridges in some of these roadways that desperately need the money that can be afforded to be spent, which makes sense to me, because the more you keep going around and around and around and around on these arguments, more time. Time waits for no man or woman, by the way. So it just keeps on going, 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 going. And then before you know, oh, it's, yeah, we were talking about that 6 months ago. We're talking about that 8 months ago. We're talking about that 9 months ago. Can't come to an agreement. I mean, it's the same crap over and over and over again. And it is. It's nonsense. Come up with a plan. Sit down with a committee. Yes, you could be miles apart because that's what everything's about. But there has to be some way to just pull apart part of that plan and make it work so that it works and gets approved. And there can be, first of all, more money pumped into areas that need it to help these dire situations before they become some kind of a tragic accident. And then there's more people that get put to work, right, with jobs that they want to do. I'm just saying. Makes sense to me, right? You got Manchin suggesting pausing talks on the $3.5 trillion package until 2022. He gets it, right? He gets it in the sense that he knows this is not happening. It's not, you know, strategically, what's going to happen? You know, what happens next year when we've got, when we're looking at this and we're not getting anywhere and we're going around and round and round and round instead of rushing to spend trillions on new government programs and additional stimulus funding, maybe we should hit a strategic pause on the budget reconciliation legislation. And maybe a pause is warranted, he says, because it'll provide more clarity on the trajectory of the pandemic and allow them to determine whether inflation is transitory or not. Because he's saying, I won't support a $3.5 trillion bill or anywhere near that level. I won't do it. So that's what I think. You know, if you're going to talk about putting all those things in this bill and it's going to be $3.5 trillion, It's going to bottom out. It's not going to happen. He's right. So he's saying, okay, so let's cut to the chase. If there's no agreement here and there's too many people saying, yeah, we have to have this, this, and this, and this in here, then maybe we just pause it. Right? Maybe we just pause it. Hey, here's something that's on tap that you might not think about. When you get in your car, do you think about the airbags? I have a thing that tells you airbags on the passenger side, and I do think about it. But a U.S. auto safety agency opened an investigation into about 30 million types of cars over these faulty airbag inflators, and they started it on Friday. It affects like 20 different companies. And anywhere from model years 2001 to 2019, and they're not safe. So they're saying that some of these bag inflators have been recalled over these metal elements that cause explosions with the faulty inflators. And there have been 100 million inflators that have been recalled over the last 10 years. Did you know? We knew that, but I didn't realize it was that many. Because you've had like 400 people that have been injured with these crazy faulty bags. That'd be the worst, right? It's supposed to protect you, and then terrible things happen to people when they're wrong, when they've got the parts in it, and then it ends up hurting people worse. And, you know, it's wide swath. General Motors, Honda, Nissan, Subaru, Ferrari, Toyota, BMW, Land Rover, all those. Mic drop coming up next.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Making our final turn here on the show for this hour anyway. Kate Delaney's my name. You can always send me your thoughts. Like I say, 24/7, the mailbag is open. We have employees that work. It's just a virtual heaven. You know, it comes in and we're here. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Imagine this. Imagine a glass bottle washes up. And you're on the beach, and you discover it, and you look at it, and could be, you know, you just look at it, you're not sure what it is. It's got some kind of message, looks really old. And then you take it home, you take the message out of the bottle, and you find out that it was written by a group of students back in 1984, and it was part of a school project into ocean currents. The letter was sealed. It was dated July 1984. It asked whoever found the bottle to return it to the school, GOC High School. The bottle's finder is 9-year-old Abby Graham. She was on a family visit to the beach near the city of Hilo in Hawaii when she discovered it. It had traveled 4,350 miles. So the school said in a press release that it released 450 bottles in 1984. And a further 300 in 1985 as part of the ocean currents survey. So far, 51 have been found and returned. but it's the only bottle to have been found since 2002. Mic drop. I think it's such a cool idea. I wish I had done something like that when I was a kid. You know, they had, like, time capsules, and I think I've got something in a time capsule somewhere. But I don't even remember where the time capsule is, so I have to go back and look through my things and see if I can figure that out. Did you put anything in a time capsule? Anybody out there do that? Or throw something in a bottle? Maybe you weren't studying ocean currents, but you just did that. I don't know. I think it's neat. So the former student of the school who's a member of the science club in the 80s said she was surprised the bottle had reappeared after so long. She said hearing the news had kind of really been exciting. It revived the nostalgic memory of the high school days and doing that. And she's said she's going to write to Abby to thank her for returning it. And they're going to, you know, include this miniature type of fisherman's flag that was once used to indicate a good haul with the letter to her as a gift. It's kind of one of those good luck sort of things. How neat. So this 9-year-old girl finds it, they pull it out, and I looked at the letter, and it says the name of the school, and it talks about the please return it and where to return it. And I think it's pretty interesting. Now there are other people that have put messages in bottles. I mean, there was a boat captain that found a 95-year-old message in a bottle in Michigan, and because of the internet, he was able to track down the writer's daughter, because think of how old that was. And I thought that story was cool. I think I talked about that on the air. And I did. I know I talked about that. And she collects these bottles and odds and ends, and she dives, and she found it when she was diving and then realized what it was and found the daughter, which is really cool. So if you're thinking about dropping a message in a bottle, just make sure you write legibly. Or maybe you type something out on your computer and print it out. Because, I mean, you can imagine these bottles, the toll that it takes, and can you read? Like, his writing, he printed, and you could really tell what it was. And the students, they had a typed note, so you could see the typed note, which I thought was pretty cool. This is a bummer for me, because I got engaged on the top of the Empire State Building. I know. And trust me, it wasn't after one of those sappy rom-coms or chick flicks or whatever. It just was the hubs thinking, oh, this is the area where you grew up, and you can see all these, you can see everything from the top here. But the Empire State Building is all about tourists and companies leasing some pretty expensive office space. And it used to be prime real estate. People wanted to be in the Empire State Building because of, you know, where you could get around in relationship to that city anyway. But we have the world called remote work. So they're saying that this skyscraper and what it represents and the idea of, you know, being able to go to the Empire State Building might just be an idea in the future, because there are people that were paying customers. In other words, they had offices and they're not coming back. Dozens and dozens of the tenants are not pumping in the cash because they're not doing that 9-to-5 working thing anymore. And if you've never been to the Empire State Building, I mean, listen, we all have, I hate the word bucket list, but we all have lists of things we want to do. I mean, all kinds of things. Like I want to hike in all the national parks or, you know, whatever it might be. And I feel fortunate to have lived in every quadrant of the United States. I say that all the time. I love people and I love the United States of America. I do. That's why it's so heartbreaking with the constant vitriol that people have, where we can't completely disagree, but then somehow find a way to find common ground. But anyway, Empire State Building is something that I would think would be on a lot of people's lists. But you wonder, the observatory and going all the way up to the observatories on the 86th and 102nd floors. I mean, because for months and months, you know, if you think about it, I was looking at some statistics. In 2019, about 1 million people visited the observatory. So 1 million people. So think about that on a typical day, what you would see before the pandemic. In the second quarter of 2022, they had about 162,000 visitors. So that was an improvement over the first quarter, but still 83% below. So that really illustrates a great story in either the Times or the Post, or I don't know where I saw, but it really shows you the collapse of tourism. And the collapse of tourism in so many places in the country, probably where you live, there's some aspect of tourism that was affected by the pandemic. But the collapse of tourism in New York City, they had 45 million fewer visitors in 2020 than the year before. So that's like $30 billion in spending. And so all that office space in the building, and this is what people are facing around the country, even in small rural areas, suburbs, medium-sized cities, small cities, whatever. Because office space, I mean, that's part of the commercial real estate, right? That's part of the whole thing. Putting up your shingle, and a lot of those shingles are coming down. A lot of them are coming down. So with so much of that office space going down, you think of what happens ultimately to the building and people coming back to the building. And yeah, I think it just shows you and represents what's happening, not just in New York, but I think looking at a tall building and a symbol like the Empire State Building and thinking about other people and the struggles you're having out there, I mean, you completely understand it, right? Because there's not as much going back. There's not as much going back to work, and companies are saving money at the same time too, right? So trying to wrestle with that. All right, how about this? So I got to end on this note. Boosters and COVID. You know, we're talking about this booster shot. First, do you have to get a booster shot? No, you don't need a booster shot. Now you have the fact that there was a big push for the booster rollout. Then there was this confusion over the target date and who would actually get it. And then you have the FDA basically saying pretty much it was up to the FDA and their advisors, and they met on Friday. They recommended a third dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine 6 months after full vaccination for people only 65 and older and those at high risk of severe COVID-19. So not enough evidence, they say, it's not sufficient evidence to show boosters for people under 65 that it's necessary. So the whole idea that you were thinking, I need to get a booster if you even got a vaccine, now they're saying, no, not unless you're over 65 or you have some really horrible condition, underlying condition, where it's really, really risky for you. Mm-hmm. It's that seesaw approach to governing that leads to misinformation problems and people who really don't trust what's going on. On that note, we're going to skedaddle off the main stage. Thanks to Jeremy for his work on the technicals. Excellent job at the mothership in Minneapolis. Make it count, everybody.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.